And so here we are, Worldwide Live, through VBS Radio Online. Thank you all to those people that are joining in with our question and answer episode of tonight.
Hey, Heis, was that lady before, was that, I can't remember, Ariel?
Yes, it was.
Oh, how wonderful to hear your voice again. How are you, darling? It's Morgan.
Oh, hello. I'm doing just real good. I'm etching a piece of glass called Enjoy Your Precious Moment of Now.
Yeah.
You did have a few more people join in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Also, Ariel, I tried to call you. And it didn't ring or anything, so I don't know.
I've been having trouble with my phone.
Yeah.
And Wynn was kind enough to get me a couple batteries, so now I'm back up online.
All right.
Excellent.
And welcome the next caller. Thanks for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Julianne in San Diego.
Hello, Julianne. Good evening to you, and welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Just fantastic. Thank you so much.
Good.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please give your name and location.
Yes, hi. It's Jane from Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm just great, Jane. And how are you doing?
Fine.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Cleo from Connecticut. Hi.
All right. Good evening, Cleo. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Hi.
All right.
Michael in Camino, California.
Good evening, Michael. Welcome to the call. How's it going?
Real good, buddy. How are you?
Just fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda calling.
Hi, Dharmananda. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good, you?
Yes, fantastic, man. Thank you for being here. And I welcome the next caller. Your name and location.
Hi, my name's Brenda. I'm in Simpsonville, Kentucky now.
Hello, Brenda. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you so much.
All right, and I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, I am too.
All right. The next caller, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Edna. Good evening.
Guten Abend, meine Freund Edna, wie geht's?
Gut, danke schön, dir.
Oh, sehr gut, danke. All right. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Seward, Alaska.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Good evening, Heis. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you, brother. Doing good.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Sedona Jim. Hello, Heis.
Sedona Jim. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I hope you're the same.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Great. Great.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carla in Okoto, or no.
Good evening, Carla. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
All right. Thank you for being here. And somebody else joined in. Welcome. Name and location. A few
Alan
people.
Alan Butler, Atlanta, Georgia.
Alan, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine. Where's my buddy, Wynn?
I don't know, but he will be here shortly.
All right. Well, let him know I'm here with him.
All right. I will, Alan. Thanks for being here.
Thank
Anna
you.
From Kent, Washington.
Good evening, Anna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Colleen from Vancouver.
Hello, Colleen. Good evening. Welcome
Hi.
To the call.
Thank you.
All right. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, that was John from Las Vegas.
Hey, John. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Right? Let's see, where are we? 6 o'clock. I welcome all those people that are joining in online through BBS Radio. We have a bunch of people here on the phone line since this is a simulcast, and we welcome you all. I believe that our beautiful lady, Terry Brown, has arrived to the back door.
Hi.
Terry, good evening. How are you doing?
Hi, everybody. Good.
Hi, Terry.
So much for being here, Terry.
Greetings, Heiss.
Good evening, Michael. How are you doing?
All right. All right, yourself?
Just fantastic. Thanks for being here, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure.
Is Sam present as well?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Hi, Sam.
You put the phone next to him. Sam, say hello, Sam. There we go.
All right. Loud and clear.
Yeah.
A few more people joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Lauren in California.
Hey, Lauren. Welcome to the call.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening, Roger. Welcome to the call. All right.
Did you hear Sam?
All right.
All right. Terry Brown.
Yeah.
Do you know about Wynn, his whereabouts?
Let me go check. He is right in the other room here. I should be here by now. Just
or Sedona Jim, what did you serve Wynn?
Can you hear me?
What's that?
Can you hear me?
What did you serve Wynn? He's like still eating his meal properly.
Yeah, I think he's going to be there in just a few seconds.
All right, great. Welcome
to Percy, North Carolina.
Good evening, Percy. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you, Hives. Fine.
All right. Thanks for being here. We do have one of our beautiful ladies on the phone line here tonight, one of our sisters, Joan, in Rhode Island, and her aunt, Barb, got the news today that she has only, like, 1 week longer
Hello.
To live.
It's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. How are you doing?
I'm making my grand entrance.
All right. You know what? I'm just getting emotional by announcing. I have somebody on the line who asked me to put her aunt in the light, who received the news today that she has only 1 week to live, who has the same kind of cancer as Marcia. And I just want to send her many blessings.
Let's all
Your
do
name's
that.
Barb.
Yeah, we'll be praying for her.
Her name is Barb. She is located in Carolina.
Okay.
Let's all do that.
Okay.
Meantime, I also want to welcome those people who just came in here in the last minute. Thank you so much for being here. And I still give you a chance to say your name and location before I close the lines, or actually turn off the things. It's for...
Is Terry here?
Yep. Terry Brown is with us.
Is Ariel here?
Ariel is here, yes. And so is Alan Butler.
Hi, Alan. I'm not playing telephone tag with you. Okay. All right. But we'll get back to it. All right. We're all muted. And let's go.
You're not muted yet. Good night.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted.
Okay. Just a second.
Here we go.
This
yes.
Right. Yes, let's go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 8th, 2014. Wynn and Terry and all of us in the eternal here and now on the telephone wherever we are. And first of all, let us, you know, Barb, who mentioned what she did, it's if you give me permission, you can do it by email if you want. Send me an email and Winfrey, do it at questions@intelligent-infinity, and we're going to do a moment of silence for you. But why don't you submit a question right now? Submit a question, questions@intelligent-infinity.com, like, what's your best attitude?
So it is Joan is with us. It is her aunt, Barb, who has this overcome. So Joan is live with us, but not...
Not the aunt, right?
Correct.
Okay. But, okay. Well, I think we'll just send the light to the aunt, okay, when we do this. But probably it's not going to work to ask a question because... Your aunt probably wouldn't believe the answer. So,
and maybe ask for her family to be surrounded by the love light at this point.
Yeah. Okay. And let me see what Ariel is. Ariel. Oh, here she is. I think this is her. Hang on a second. Ariel, are you there? Hello, Ariel.
I'm looking for her, Win.
I think I am muted.
I see her. Yeah, that is her. Yes, it is her. Okay.
Ariel, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
You know, that baby crying didn't sound like you, okay?
No, it's a 2-week-old little baby boy. He's awesome. His name is Kai Kai, and I'm changing his diaper. Very much of a blessing here. Okay.
I'm just doing a promotion for you, so be there, okay?
I'm here.
And,
yes, sir. I'm right here.
Many of you have heard Ariel coming into our lines. And she has a Native American background. She's had a crazy life. I mean, really crazy compared to most of us. Perhaps I'm the only one that might compete with her for the crazy life that she has, I think. Well, there might be others, but I'm in the running.
Yeah.
And she's traveled all over the country. Not by plane, not by train, sometimes by car, and sometimes by going to truck stops and getting rides with the next truck stop, the next trucker to wherever he's going, and then the next one. And she says, I'm giving it up to the light. Wherever I end up is where I'm supposed to be. So right now she's living in Kingman, and she has a woman there who is letting her stay at her place to help with her mother, and
now we have children.
And now there's children, and you know, I've been tracking Ariel for about 5 or 6 years now. She's been coming into our calls sometimes. It sounds like she's going crazy, and I sent her a little MP3 player with 50 hours of calls on it, which she was playing nonstop to try to get grounded. And there's a lot of things that have happened to her in her life which tied her to Sacagawea. Sacagawea, if you're not into American history, was a famous Native American woman that went on the Lewis and Clark expedition, which was an exploratory expedition that opened up the western part of the United States. Very famous. And they had to go through territories with Indians and where there was no food. And Sacagawea was their guide by default. She wasn't hired as their guide. She was the wife of a French tradesman who was hired, and so she went as his wife. but she ended up being the most important person. In that mission, because she got them through safe passage by finding food, foraging for food in the wilds, and by negotiating with various tribes that could have been hostile, but they weren't. And
if I can interject, I was able to do the reenactment of Lewis and Clark, and so that's where my journey began to help others.
Right, right. So in any case, she has the profile this life of someone who could have done that life. She's lived with various tribes. She's been accepted by them, and she needs some help to pay for her dentist. So I said, let's do a fundraiser, and you can talk about all the things that connected you with Sacagawea. And while I was researching Sacagawea, I found that there were more statues of Sacagawea than any other woman in American history. There's also being a major $50 million film being made about Sacagawea right now. And when I asked our sources, which I did, they don't always tell me this stuff, but I asked them, was Ariel Sacagawea? They said, yes. So I sent the notice out, $3 to $8. You can do more. But, we're going to spend an hour and a half with Ariel tomorrow talking about her Native American background this life and the things that occurred for her that made her think she was Sacagawea. But she didn't hardly know who Sacagawea was until I told her. So she's brave. She holds the light for people. She's crazy. She's lovable. She's enthusiastic. And she's the kind of person that has the enthusiasm to say, come on, guys, let's go forward. Let's go for it. And so it'll be a fascinating time tomorrow. And anything you'd like to say, Ariel?
I'm just very grateful. I like to stay in gratitude. And even though my tooth is hurting pretty bad, I know that I believe in God and I believe in the Great Spirit. And I just feel very blessed to know Terry and Wynn and Chef Jim, and I've had the opportunity to spend some moments with them, and I'm really excited about doing some things and going forward. But it's really precious to be holding this two-week-old little boy, Kai Kai, and being able to help others and learning to be more patient with myself, because this is all new to me too. So I just want to thank everybody on the line, like Lucy and Carla and Morgan and all of you that have enriched my life, and I just am very grateful, especially to Christ. That's all I got.
And by the way, Ariel has a very unique technique for making connection with the Elohim. And do you want to tell them what it is, Ariel?
I write it on my feet every day.
She writes it on the bottom of her feet.
And I write the Lord's Prayer on the other one. Walk with me. Yeah, love and light.
You may get some really great tips on connecting with the Elohim tomorrow. So
I just really want to do good things, and I walk for peace. I don't walk for war. I walk for peace,
right?
Because our creators want us to walk for peace, and that is what I think my main goal is to, I walk through the nations, and a lot of people don't understand the drug and alcohol use, and I'm a recovering addict myself, but it's very, very important that we walk in our tunnels of light and just help one other person and be in service to them. You never know what might change your life. And walking into Wynn's world, I found a piece of paper at Dalles, Oregon, and it had Wynn's name on it. And I love Winfrey and Terry, and I love Chef Jim, and I had such a wonderful experience there with them. And I think we all grew from it, but I just really, really am blessed that we got to go to L.A., and I'm just grateful Wynn's my friend, and I just love Terry Brown with all my heart, but Chef Jim makes some really awesome food, so, you know, Hot Meal and Hope make a lot of difference, so that's all I got, but I just really love the Elohim and the Rosso group.
Okay.
I love all of you.
I'm muting you. We'll see
okay.
you tomorrow, okay?
See you okay. Right. Let me take care of this baby.
All right. And now we have some great questions for tonight. And let me just see here. I'm just going to get Carl's question in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Carl, that's a good question. I'll answer that because I know the answer to it. Good.
Uh-huh.
I'm just making sure you're not muted.
I'm here.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, before I call in the light, I just want to share with you something I did with someone who I've been connecting with for the last few years. And, you know, sometimes people think that if they're my friend or if they know me personally, it can make a big difference in their life. And usually it gets worse, okay, because I'm so catalytic. And then sometimes people get dependent on me, and I have to, you know, talk to them 3 times a week or they're going to commit suicide. So I tried something with someone, and I told them, and I do this anyway, and sometimes it's not good to say things you do because, but I'm not saying this for any kind of credit. I'm just saying it because it's something that worked, and that is I told the person I was going to start thinking of them at a certain time every day and just send them loving energy. And it really worked. They didn't have to call me. They could feel the energy of it. And I know that works, but it's, you know, it's like so often people, they get attached to talking to you personally. They don't want to do that because they're attached to the personal connection. But it's a really great exercise to learn that that works. And I was thinking of perhaps putting together, we already have something called Team Shift, but I'm just thinking of putting together groups of 2 people that I actually kind of go through, me or someone goes through interviewing them to make sure there's some kind of compatibility, and put together 2 people who will agree to put each other in the light or pray for each other at the same time every day, and maybe talk once a week just to see if it's working. And let me know if you like that idea. And I think I'm going to charge an administration fee for putting it together. Not a lot, but, you know, just a one-time thing to just take the time. We do so many things we don't charge for that my subconscious just rebels against doing one more thing. So we'll charge a little bit for it, which will help us. But it may help some of you in really surprising ways to get over some patterns, because so often we think we want a friend, we want somebody that understands us, and this is actually probably more powerful than having a friend. And of course it will turn into a friend, but it starts at the right level. It starts in spirit, it starts in the invisible realms, it starts in other dimensions, and something starts there and it turns into a friendship
That's going to be a good friendship because it's coming from spirit first. Usually, in case you haven't noticed, with humans, when they become friends, it goes into the personality level, oftentimes. And if it's in the personality level, it's like, you know, well, how's it going, Terry? How's it going, Wynn? Oh, it's fine. Oh, it's a bad day, you know. It just goes into the reporting aspect of your life. And you know what? It gives you a moment of release to be able to report to somebody that cares. It's not that it's bad. But what if somebody just was thinking of you every day at a certain hour? Or you could even, if it's working, you can increase the frequency. Like every 3 hours, I'm going to send you love. And see if you could use that as a tool to lift your vibration. So email me. Let me know if you like that idea. And you like that idea, Terry?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me see if there's any last-minute questions. We got a lot of really good questions tonight. In fact, I have to say, the quality of our questions is really getting good. And, okay, we got our questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra'an. And we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is a bonding of all the one infinite creator, us, the Elohim, us, the Ragu, and each person who wishes to connect. It is a bonding, a drawing closer together, a connecting of energies that, if the person is open to it, can expand their senses, their sensitivity into other realms. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is a general question about crystals and sacred geometry shapes. This is from Rich Buckley, and there's the idea, and it's been said in the raw material, how crystals help connect one to higher dimensions. That when you can use a crystal properly, and you put it on your body or meditate in it, or you have a crystal ball, which, you know, fortune tellers use, it helps to interface with higher dimensions. Can you just think of geometric shapes and move them on your body and get a comparable effect?
Thank you. Yes, you can. In fact, each person in their interface each day with their surroundings. Use geometric shapes, cones, which move out from the body, and they focus on areas that the person is interested in, and cones can project energy, they can pull energy in, they can channel energy, they can affect others. When one gets very good at how this works, they can change whole aspects of their life by using geometric shapes to channel energy outward, inward, and to increase the effectiveness of their energy and their intention. People are not trained in how to do this, and so they may be doing it at random and working against themselves if they are feeling unworthy and they project this out to others in a focused way, then it can affect the relationship and the connection adversely. If they learn how to purify their intent, increase their self-worth, and they project that out, it can certainly help them and their connection with others and their environment.
It sounds like this would be a really excellent workshop topic to learn how to work with visualizing geometric things to help us increase our flow into each other and in other dimensions. Is that something that you'd like to help us on sometime?
We could participate. Yes.
Mm-hmm. If we want to send the light to someone, is there a valuable geometric shape that would increase the effectiveness?
There is the cone where to project the light would be to bring it from the interface where it is and then place a cone moving from that space outward to encompass the other person. One can get very focused in abilities.
Would the point of the cone end at the person and the base of the cone start with you? Is that the image?
It can go whatever way the person desires to set it up. The base of the cone can start with the person and then end up the focal point at some other point, or it can start with a base at some other location and end with a point toward the person.
Okay, thank you. Julianne Deutsch, I think I'm saying her last name correct, asked the question, how, when we pray, since we know there are energy forms in other dimensions which we could call negative, how can we direct our prayers to bypass those forms, and how can we protect ourselves from when we die from having a imposter show up that says there's something that's actually a lower negative form pulling us in that direction?
The first thing is to keep one's integrity in the things that they do, in their interactions with other people. This will keep one out of the debasing range, to keep one's self clear of addictions, which tend to pull one into a debased situation, to keep one's intention pure. And if they find themselves wallowing in jealousy, for instance, to take a moment and to set it aside and say, hey, give me a small time, the time needed for this to pass. And then once it passes, I can again look at the situation clearly to grant beingness to the other person, so that if the other person is not being nice, don't take it personally. Don't get involved in the drama of it. To simply say that person is being this way or that way, and it's like a weed in the garden. You don't want it there, but there it is. And if you can then let it be like a fact of life, and then step around it, flow around it, keep your own center, your own integrity, your own vibration, your own desires to be like a path you are going on, and do not be thrown off your path. Those are some suggestions.
Thank you. So I think we could say, as above, so below. As you purify all your interactions in this realm, it ensures that you're going to get beings in the higher dimensions that match your integrity, your conduct, your morality. I don't know if morality is a good one, but your character and your dedication to be a service, that you will pull it. You'll pull in what matches that in other dimensions. And if you're praying, it's an automatic. Yeah. Okay. Chris Mitlis in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, has an attachment to the fear of losing her mom, who has just turned 86. I must have created a paralyzing belief system about loss as a child and don't know how to disengage it. Can you give me some insight into this?
It is difficult to lose such a close family member. Do not feel that it is inappropriate to grieve when someone leaves, or to feel the loss, the contact, the touch, the talking, the sound, the senses. Let the grief come. Do not project it into the future, though, as fear, as it comes when it comes. But stay with whatever the situation is at the particular time, so that you get the most out of the time that is left rather than taking your time to worry about something that is in the future.
Thank you. Julius asked a question in Fairfield, California. First, I want to thank you, Wynn, Terry, and sources and all involved in making this possible. My question is, when sources state that they will connect with all who wish connection, what takes place during the connection? And if they find something, the sources, that it's out of alignment in a person, can or do they realign it as, say, a mechanic would do? Thank you, Julius. Now, Julius, I can tell you my experience is that I have learned how to go into a meditation and start out scattered and hold the space and stay focused. I don't know, you know, I did this before I even was communicating to the Elohim group and the Ra groups, but I could start energy flows in my body and start switching my out-of-balance place. And sometimes I go to sleep. I have to do it if I'm really out of balance. And before I go to sleep, I say, I'd ask for balance. And, you know, depending on, like, for example, sometimes I pick up a huge amount of energies from doing this work. And I'm feeling everyone's energy inside of me. And if it gets overwhelming, sometimes I have to sleep for 2 days to get back in balance again. Those are things that I've seen work for me. And I would guess when I do that, I was doing this before I did this work, but I would guess, postulate, that I was getting help from the outside when I did this. Now, other people may have their own things to do this, but I think it's a very good question. When they say they're with us and all you have to do is ask, sometimes I know people just say, okay, Elohim, I'm asking, and nothing happens. So could our sources help us with the answer to this question? Thank you, Julius.
Thank you. As we align with you, the connection is a sharing of space, and the sharing of space brings forth a very thin, not easily seen, light. Each person has their own light, and when we intersect with a person, then that brings forth also a light, which is often of the color pink. We do not automatically realign what we see in the person that needs realignment because they have their own free will, and the out of alignment comes in with the reasons why it's out of alignment and has to do with past track or current things that are happening that the person may or may not be asking to be aligned. If the person is asking for alignment, then we will go in and we can make alignment to a degree that is acceptable to the person. If we went in and realigned everything that we saw that was out of alignment, the person would feel very out of balance because the out of alignments are balancing some situations, some misalignment in structure that has happened and occurred and been taken up in the past, and the person is not oriented to the misalignment. If one suddenly aligned them, they would not feel in balance. They would say, hey, what happened to my leaning to the left? I need to lean to the left. It can take, if the person is asking, a series of gradual adjustments as a person becomes aware of what needs to be realigned and allows their body to be realigned. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, there was another question answered at a previous time that if our sources were to put us in balance every time we were out of balance, and we didn't learn some protocol for doing it ourselves, then they're doing us a disservice because we have to learn to do these things ourselves or else we are just at their effect. So what I've noticed is that each of us has the ability to learn this. And sometimes on these calls, you'll notice that you can come into the call, and by the end of the call, you're in balance. And then every time that happens, you get to learn, what did I go through to get myself in balance? And then you'll be by yourself, and you can mock up the energy and bring that balance in without being on a call, just because you're getting used to it. And it's setting up a new track, a new possibility. Okay.
If a person is used to and has become used to being out of balance, and that seems like normal, and then we put them into balance, they would simply find another way to be out of balance.
Thank you. David Ferringer in Grove City, Pennsylvania. He has a really good question. Someone close to me needs a tremendous amount of help. He's worried about his health and his finances. He says he does not believe in prayer. If I pray for him without his consent, does it still benefit him, or is that violating his free will and the prayer is canceled out? Thank you.
Thank you. If you pray for him and he does not believe in prayer, and if you get into your prayer the essence of what your friend would like to achieve, you will then strengthen the resolve or the potential choices he has to choose from in his own space. You will strengthen his ability to move toward the choices that he really wants. He may not believe in it, but if it agrees with his intention, he will resonate with it, and it will help make him stronger in that direction. And he would reject or not go in alignment with anything which he does not feel would be of potential use.
Thank you. Next question, Peter Castaneda. And is it the the Akashic Records is an energetic computer that's in the energy field of planet Earth, as I understand it. and it records everything that happens on this planet in an energetic, uncomprehendable way, but nonetheless, many people have referred to it, and some people believe they have access to this computer or the storage unit. It has all the past lives, and I have a feeling that my sources can answer this, that everybody, every celestial body might have an Akashic record attached to it in its field. So Peter's question is it possible to have access to the Akashic records while living in this plane and while being awake? Are there any exercises we could do to maybe change our DNA to help us achieve this connection? And I would add the question, is this beneficial to do? In other words, I'm not so sure you would, if you weren't ready for this, to have this kind of access, to be able to look at the records of everyone you meet, to know what they did, what their past lives were, might be not a good thing, even if you were evolved. I know I get access to things, but never on demand. It's like things come to me, and I'm comfortable with it being in that way. But I don't think I would be comfortable having that power to have it on demand. And also the demands of other people would make on me if they knew that I could do that. In any case, let me turn it over to our sources and let them address it. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. It would take a great deal of training. When one first opens up to the electromagnetic records that are available, one needs to know how to tune to get to the specific memory record that one wishes to get to. Otherwise, they can be overwhelmed, like a radio who's got many stations coming in all at once, and they aren't able to make much sense out of anything because there is so much input coming in. So one needs to learn to tune, like a radio, to certain frequencies to tell exactly what's there, to tune to certain colors, to tune to certain resonances. And to do this, one can start with meditation and can observe what is going on with their own self, with mind chatter, because mind chatter can obliterate the fine-tuning and can take it over. One can apply stacking, which is to set to the side whatever they have going on, a problem, a money problem, girlfriend problem, to be able to set those things aside and not to resolve them, but just to park them for the time being, to be able to clear the mind enough to be able to sense other higher vibrations. There are vibrations within the earth, sounds within the earth, earthquake sounds before earthquakes, resonant sounds where the earth rings. One can get sensitive to all of that, and one needs to be able to tune if they are going to cut through all of the jumble of inputs to get to the specific record that they are looking for. And when they become so sensitive, then they are able to look and look with their third eye to see and sense and energies, the high frequencies, the faint vibration that contains the memory and all the data of the hologramic experience that has gone before that is accessible for whether it is this planet or another planet. It does still come through, but fine-tuning, working with oneself, as you are the instrument that hears these senses. Thank you.
Thank you. Rivia asked a question. Rivia Karpinek. And I'm going to answer this question because we've covered it in great detail. And she asks about the Anunnaki, the Elohim. Are they the same beings? And she refers to Michael Tellinger, who we studied. And actually, Terry and I went to see him and had breakfast with him and his wife when he was in Sedona giving a talk the last time. And we have a number of Monday night sessions in our archives. And I think they're titled Rewriting the Old Testament, where I went into great detail about this particular topic. But in short, in very short, without going into detail, yes, the Michael Tellinger and the Sumerian tablets are fairly accurate, to my knowledge. And basically, there has been we've talked about Elohim souls, the celestial Elohim that came into this realm and that got stuck here and that have been traveling around in this realm for millions of years. And the Anunnaki are one of those groups that are originated from the celestial Elohim. And somehow they got the knowledge of this, that they are not the celestial Elohim. They are humans, or not humans, because they're not from this planet, but they are earthbound bodies that are very powerful, not always positive. In fact, very often not. They got into rivalries and fighting with each other, and they did create humans. They created humans by genetic engineering between themselves and apes. And the Sumeria, the oldest civilization on Earth, was populated by the humans, which were created by the Anunnaki. When the Bible says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man, it relates to the Anunnaki, who had bodies and that were having relationships with the humans they created. They created these humans originally to be their slaves to do gold mining. So all of that we've talked about, we've verified, you know, asked questions about it, and there's probably six sessions in our archives on the spiritchannel.net that covers that. It's very interesting. Goes into it in quite a bit of detail. And it's called Rewriting the Old Testament. Okay, if you do a search on that, you'll find those sessions. Okay, next question here.
Vin, may I ask, can we send some love light to a Barb in North Carolina?
Okay,
thank you, because we have been doing that. Periodically throughout the call. Thank you, Hives, for remembering.
Thank you, Hives. Is it Bart's relative that is dying?
No, it is Joan is here with us, and it is Barb, her aunt, who got the news today that she has only a couple of more days to live.
Okay. So let's take a moment and send the light to
Barb in North Carolina.
Barb in North Carolina, her family, and her aunt.
Barb is the aunt. It is Joan in Rhode Island who was with us tonight.
Joan's on the call. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Pius, for remembering.
We have her in our love life. We hold her in our love life.
Mm-hmm.
Our, we hold her.
Let me do a, we're out of time really, but let me do a quick answer here. I'll answer this one from Carl. Logan home in Santa Fe. Doesn't make any difference if the person's dead remains are cremated versus burial. Is cremation in any way painful to the departed soul? Carl, we've asked this question in the past, and the way the answer goes is the soul tends to hang around the body when the body is still in form. And when someone is cremated, it forces the soul to let go of the body and continue its journey. Whereas if there's a body, they may delay their journey into higher realms by hanging around their body. That's why so many cemeteries are haunted. And
thank you. We have further answer to this. Yes, the answer is yes. When the body is cremated, even though the person has passed over, or they still feel some pain with cremation, however, it passes quickly. To put the person to hold them for a time so that they can get used to their state for a short time before cremation is also helpful to help them realize the change in their situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Lauren in Missouri, ask your question next week. I will get to it. Edna in Mahonish, Washington, ask your question next week and see if you want to add what I suggested, okay? And John, you've asked your question, 658. John, I can't fit in your question. It's probably a fast answer about children and adults dying. So ask it next week, and I'll put it at the top of the pile, okay? And on that note, I thank you all for being here. Thank you for asking such great questions, all of you. The quality of our questions is just phenomenal, and I'm learning with you. So on that note, I'm going to unmute. Thank you, Hives. Thank you, BBS.